Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tippy Talk, where we are ready for a brand new conversation, and of course, not without technical issues and hurdles to jump through, which is actually exciting and not stressful today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've been staying home too much. Who knows? Let me see. There you go. Now you guys can hear me. And we have today two guests instead of one. So we have double the trouble. It's like having a double chocolate dip. One guest is Sharla Tampone. And I hope I'm saying that name right. I love that way that sounds. I love Italian sounding name. And our second guest today is Kristen Gislin. Kristen is going to have to correct me on that one too. I'm really, really excited to have the two guests, because we are actually in a place where they complement each other, because Sharla is a doctor of oriental medicine and Kristen is got a whole list of things that she does, and I'm going to tell you, she's a rebel, and I love that because I'm the ultimate rebel. I don't think she's going to outdo me. She's a mystic, she's a seer, she's a mentor, collaborator, a guide, and of course a contributor. But there's so much more to both of them, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in a little while. But as for now, I would like to welcome you. Thank you, Sharla, for joining us, and thank you, Kristen, for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Tippy. We appreciate it.
See, the great thing about audio is we can all just jump in and scream together and just have some fun. So thank you, Kristen, and thank you, Sharla. This is really an honor to have both of you, and especially to have both of you at the same time. So, of course, the one thing that everybody's thinking about is the corona, and I purposely am not calling it the COVID-19. Something about that does not rub me the right way, and I haven't quite put my finger on it yet. But I can tell you, I don't like that name. So I just call it corona. I don't even call it coronavirus because I don't necessarily want to identify with a virus. But so that's what we're going to be talking about, corona, today. But before we start, why don't we just find out a little bit about our wonderful guest? So, Sharla, I know that you're a doctor of oriental medicine. I actually had one of my big problems I had with my skin, and I looked for what I call the Chinese doctor, but he was a doctor of oriental medicine, and you don't necessarily have to be Chinese to be a doctor of oriental medicine, do you?
Right. No, that is a very interesting misconception.
Exactly.
Not the red. Yes. But it is one of the oldest medicines on the planet, and it still has incredible applications today, Tippy. They were great observers of nature, And we are all that microcosm of the macrocosm of nature. So we have some great ways we can apply that for us today, as nature is a little out of balance. And so we can use some of those great tips to help out today.
But is it true that most of the Oriental medicine practitioners are Chinese, male specifically?
I'm not sure if that's correct in this country. In China, possibly. Remember,
yes.
Chinese medicine was passed down from member to member. It was direct tutorial. And now we have schools. So I think, you know, that would be an interesting statistic to look at in the U.S. I think it's pretty well divided these days, which is beautiful.
Yeah, and actually, really, it doesn't really matter who it is. It's about how they practice the medicine and how much knowledge and how much help they could do. Really, it doesn't matter if it's Chinese or Japanese or Mexican.
Korean.
At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. So other than being a practitioner of Oriental medicine, which I think is fantastic, and I'm really curious to know what got you started with that, you also do other things. You're a kinesiologist and a nutritionist and all that stuff. So how does that come together? Like, did you one day decide that you want to be a kinesiologist and then said, nah, let me become a certified nutritionist? And then, so how did that come together?
Well, the short version, Tippi, is I was actually grew up in Southern California. I was a ballerina, and I had a little car accident. It wasn't horrific, but did injure my back. I received some acupuncture. I was so amazed that I decided to change direction in life. Really, that car accident led me down a spiritual path, recognizing that maybe I was going the wrong direction, and spirit stopped me in my tracks and asked me to shift. So I went to the healing arts and went to first I went to massage school. And then to put myself to acupuncture school, which I really loved, and it gave me the licensure to explore other avenues. Muscle testing or applied kinesiology was with me from the beginning at the clinic I worked at. It is a neurological diagnostic tool we use, asking the body direct questions through muscle response testing. Because the body is very wise. We just have to learn how to ask it questions very specifically. And the nutrition, you know, the world, as we all know, particularly today, has become, I don't want to use the word complicated, multifaceted. So the more I study, the more I realize I would like more information to help my patients. So my nature is to ask questions. So, but why? So seeking constant teachers to help guide me to share more and more and more with my patients. I also had some health issues as a child, which weren't bad enough for Western medicine. My guts did not function optimally. And so food and nutrition has always been a high necessity for me. And it was very necessary to guide people on the basics, you know, what we eat, how we eat, when we eat. And we'll talk a little bit about food today in regards to how it helps the immune system and some Chinese dietary principles. So my path was personal and the desire to help and serve, you know, to share the wisdom.
And I think that's the bottom line, that people that I call light workers are basically have a passion about helping and serving people. But let me just ask you one quick question. And you said that you realized you were going in the wrong direction. Did you mean being a ballerina being the wrong direction?
Yes. You know, my lifestyle growing up in Los Angeles in the 80s, I think I just gave my age away, but, you know, you know, it's working 7 days a week, having numerous jobs, going. I think I probably looked healthy as a fit athlete, but inside, spiritually, I wasn't following a good path. I met some amazing people, and after my injury and started receiving touch, I became more in my body, which, as believe it or not, as a dancer, I hadn't actually been in my body and been in touch with my spirit, and it was an awakening. And
very interesting, because
this is,
yeah, that's very interesting, because most dancers that I know, the most important thing for them is to be in their body and taking the body to extremes in the next level every single day. So I think it's a very personal thing. And I think when you realize that you might be going in a direction that you may not want to go, it just comes in all kinds of forms. And it's beautiful.
Yes. Thank you.
So we also have Christine standing by here so patiently. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm feeling good. I'm excited to be on the show.
How do you spell you? How do you pronounce your last name?
Geeslin, like
Geeslin.
A geese with Lynn on the end.
Got it.
Geeslin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I just didn't want to mess up your name. I know it's not a good thing to do. So thank you so much. We're very, very happy to have you here. So you're kind of also here to serve and to help people. And I think that's the big thing that bonds you and Charlotte together, and me and everybody. There's so many people on the planet right now that have dedicated their life to serve and to be of help and to be basically spreading the light the best way that you can on this planet. And we really need that, considering the darkness that is there too. So how did you come about to start doing all the stuff that you're doing, like being a psychologist and all kinds of tarot reader and like 7 certifications and all that stuff?
Right. You know, I grew up, I tell people I grew up in a hive of alcoholics. So
interesting.
So they were kind of everywhere, and they were really charming, creative, lots of entrepreneurs. They had a lot of really great qualities, but there was seriously a lack of balance in their lives. And I was able to, you know, observe this from a fairly young age, and I was, and at the same time, somehow magically, a lot of female mentors appeared in my life who were studying, you know, metaphysical things, astrology, numerology, manifestation. And I mean, this was back in the mid 70s. And so I think it was a little unusual that data was getting to me so early, but somehow that's what happened. And Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas were having the first people that were going public with the disease of alcoholism. And I was like, oh, bad choice. You know, that is not my path. So it was really clear for me that I wanted to live my life in a different way. So I was exposed to some good things. My family took me, my mom actually took me to yoga classes, and she took me to transcendental meditation class. So I was getting exposed to some really nourishing spiritual stuff very early. And for some reason, you know, my soul just glommed onto that and said, this is what I'm going to do with my life. So from the time I was very young, I started really thinking about my life in terms of body, mind, spirit balance, and always trying to be aware of those different elements in every choice that I made along the way in terms of, you know, my personal and professional life. I was always thinking, okay, you know, how do we keep life in balance? And so it's been very interesting for many years. Really, I had sort of two tracks running. I had my personal sort of personal spiritual practice and my avocation of being interested in a lot of different metaphysical areas. And then I kind of worked in the regular world. You know, I had I have 1 degree in psychology and my master's is in adult education. So I worked in structured environments, mostly nonprofit organizations, where I was able to serve. But that part, that mystical part, was kept mostly on the down low. However, you know, it would creep through. You know, my friends and people I got close to in those environments over time, of course, knew about that other side. But it wasn't what I was presenting myself to the world with. And then the transition for me into more full-time healing work started about a decade ago, where in the last full-time professional position I had, I noticed that people were sort of projecting their illness models into the relationship with me because they felt safe with me and they felt this spiritual presence and they wanted to work stuff through, but that really wasn't my job in that, you know, position. So at that point, I made a decision that going forward, I would be putting myself into the world, you know, in a greater fullness of who I actually am. So I hope that gives some clarity.
That's really wonderful. And it also, part of your story is a testament to the humanity, how amazingly we can make decisions that you wouldn't think we would. I like the way you put it, that you grew up in a hive of alcoholics. And yeah, it probably would be a hive, but normally you would assume that people that grow up with that basically grow up to be part of the hive. They see, okay, this is the way of life, and they're not able to sit back at such a young age or at any age and observe and say, not for me. It's more like they get into the hive, they become part of it, and maybe if they suffer enough, they finally find a way out. That's the normal story, but people are so individualized, and our spirit has got such a huge and unique journey that people like you are everywhere, are able to overcome the hive of whatever it is that they're in. I think that's fantastic. Right. But I have a question about something that you said that I think is important. And you said that somehow you were surrounded by a lot of females and female mentors. Did you have any male presence growing up in that hive of alcoholics, or was this just a single mom, single grandma, and stuff like that?
No, there was a strong male presence. My father was really, we have a very deep cosmic spiritual connection that I believe goes back to prior lifetimes. And he was very excellent at including me in adventures in the world. So he really instilled in me a sense of wonder about nature. We spent a lot of time sailing, and he took me to Mexico. We climbed pyramids outside of Mexico City together. We went on an adventure to the Virgin Islands in a sailboat and went sailing for a week. So I had a lot of really awesome adventures with my dad,
okay.
They gave me the taste for adventure. And I think I crystallized that more into the adventure of spiritual growth and understanding more and more about myself and the nature of reality. But had I not had that sort of risk muscle in place, you know, so early, you know, I might have felt like I needed to stay inside the lines, you know, of common, you know, experience more.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're talking about the balance. So you did have male-female balance growing up. And I really think at the end of the day, it's not so much what happens to you, it's what you take away from it. How you process it. You process it with love and observation, maybe a little bit of objectivity, or if you process it with the resentment for the things that you don't have. And I think that comes from your spiritual path, your past lives perhaps, or the way your perspective really ends up being. So that's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. Charlotte, you were going to say something, and I did not mean to cut you off. What were you going to say? Do you remember?
Actually, I was not, but no, I don't think I was going to say anything, but it's interesting when you said, you know, how we process things, and I was thinking that's really our subject today, is how we're processing this global shift, and everybody's processing it differently, and what does it look like, and the big question today is, what does it mean to me, right? How is my body doing, and what is my process? And you know, it's beautiful to have Kristen here and understanding the spiritual process. And I want to talk about the biochemical process, and we can, you know, help explore what is the process, what's happening, and how are we processing this shift in data?
Okay, so
I love the question.
Oh, okay. I love that you called it this global shift, because it's not going to be an easy transition, but it definitely is a shift and a transition. And let's call it Corona, whatever. So the first thing that we should look at is how are we processing the situation right now? Because the shift is in the process. The Corona is in the present that we're dealing with every second of every day. So how do we process the fact that we have to deal with this invisible monster that wants to attack us and make us sick and kill us and destroy us? Is it really that? And that would be the first question. And then the second one would be, how are we dealing with that shift? Because life as it was, in my opinion, will never be the same. Although I may be wrong, you know, I'm not a prophet, but how do we deal with that shift? So there's two really subtle difference between the two questions, but there's really important questions.
I'd like to just hop in.
Right. Okay, let's start with Shala. Kristen, go ahead.
Okay, I surreptitiously here in the background where you can't see me have my Voyager Tarot deck because I did want to throw a few cards, you know, during our time together. And the card that comes out is the time-space card, which in the old deck was the judgment card. But my Tarot mentor, James Wanless, wanted to move this forward into a more open and expansive view. And whenever I see this card, this is like exactly that in time. The, you know, sort of like, okay, something from the past is coming to fruition. It's completing. And now we have the opportunity to set something new, you know, into motion. So that was the card that came out. Just I wanted to see what Spirit had to say about our conversation.
I love that. I love that a lot because actually it's exactly, it's kind of like you were reading my mind because something from the past is completing and is going into the completion phase and we're going into something new. And I think the important thing here that we really need to focus on, are we going into it from a space of fear or are we going to go into it from a space of empowerment? Because if we go into it from the space of fear, our rights, our life, our dignity will be taken away from us before we even realize it. But if we go into it awake and awakening, because waking up is a process, we're not going to compromise on our rights and our dignity and our way of life. So we'll go into a light and a better place. Is that how you see it, Shala?
Yes, actually, Tippi, you said something and then you're talking about fear, which is exactly what I wanted to bring up today, and you called it a monster. So this monster C is creating fear, which puts us into a nervous system of fight or flight. Usually I describe the sympathetic nervous system. Our nervous system has fight or flight. That sympathetic, I usually call it grizzly bear, when we're being chased by a grizzly bear. But today, I think it makes us feel like we're caged animals. And that's because I have a feeling, Tippi, some people out there are thinking, Sharla, that's because I am a caged animal in my apartment. So what it does is we feel caged and trapped, and that's fear. So fear can also, it absolutely creates a biochemical response. And what I'd like to share with people today is what's happening with their physical body and some tips and tools they can use to allow their biochemistry to slow down. When we go into this fight or flight, the energy, the blood, the circulation is more on the outside in the muscles to either fight or run. And we all have seen it in TV movies. If somebody is afraid for their life, what happens? They urinate and defecate to lighten the load for flight. So our digestion is off, right? That's where the phrase came from. You scared the, you know, poop out of me, right? But our respiration changes, our sleep, our mood, our focus, our hormones, our blood sugar. So our biochemistry, we may crave certain foods. We may have a bad appetite. We may want to sedate with alcohol. And you know, looking for nurture food with sugar. And so we're grasping at how to deal with this biochemistry. One of the first things we can do, especially while we're at home and we can't go to the gym and work out, you know, in Florida here, it's easy. I can go outside and go for a rollerblade. We have a lot of space here. But I'd like to bring people back to their breath.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of different breaths I would like to share quickly of how you can drop the body's nervous system out of that fear response back into that parasympathetic, safe, warm. And I'm going to use the first breath, which is just really fun to do, because we all need levity right now. And it's called the ha breath. So we can do primal scream therapy, but the police would be out in droves trying to figure out why people are screaming in their houses. So if you take a deep breath in, like you're shocked, and then we release the breath, ha! And it releases the tension of the body. It relaxes the vagus nerve behind the stomach, the longest nerve in the body that drops us into the parasympathetic. We can just walk around the house, stomp a little bit, ha! Ha! And it will relax the fear response. If we want to calm the body, the exhalation should be slower than the inhalation, or the ah breath. Ah. And that feels really good to do, vocalizing, because we all have something to say, but there's really no words for this today. There's so many words that we want to say, but they're hard to come up with specific words. We just need to release the tension, the fear, the indecision, the unknowing, all this emotion we have going on. You know, even the guilt of wanting to just rest. I tell people it's okay. Some people might be in this excitatory adrenal response. Some people may have already gone into the exhaustive phase and want to sleep. It's okay to rest. We need permission to rest. We, as a culture, are in extremes right now. We are working 8 days a week, go, go, go. Now we're supposed to slow down, and we don't know what to do with it. We're allowed to slow down. We're allowed to slow down. This is a beautiful time to pause.
Yeah.
The reset button.
That.
And I have a feeling Kristen has some beautiful ideas and concepts about that. But biochemically, the breath, use the breath, calm breath. There's numerous breaths, and I don't want to push technology, but go on a YouTube and Google pranayama, P-R-A-N-A-Y-A-M-A, pranayama, breathing techniques. It'll help to understand how to decrease or increase your heart rate. Balance the brain. There's numerous breathing techniques with the oldest medicine in the world, Ayurvedic medicine. And that's a good place to start, going back inside of ourselves.
So I love that you gave some kind of practical, easy exercise and something that people can do and understand also where they're at on the spectrum of fear or guilt or exhaustion. That's a really one practical thing that they can do. And Kristen, I want to come back to you and ask you, because I love the card that you pulled out, and it goes right along with the global shift. You said the exact same thing, that it's a completion. And what something practical to go with it? Do you have something to tell, to complement that of what Charlotte said?
Yeah, I do. I have some things I had prepared, but I'm feeling guided to go ahead and let Spirit give us another card, okay? I just want to see what Spirit has to say.
Yeah.
It's always interesting. Okay. Oh, wow. This is so powerful. All right. So what we're getting is 21. Okay. We're getting the universe card in the Voyager deck. This card basically says all things are possible. So, you know, it may feel right now like nothing is possible, but these moments of imaginary creation, you know, when we can step away from what has been and start to imagine what we would like to see, hold tremendous potential. And so if people are can do that, if they can take this time where they are stepped back from their typical ways of being and see how the things that they're experiencing now could realign with their values and move their lives forward, we can do this not just as individuals, but as a collective. And that's one of the things that I'm most excited about, is that I know that as a globe, this is the first time we've really had to work together to solve a problem together. And so it's a beginning. You know, it's an opportunity to have a new platform for us to see ourselves as that global village that we truly are. So for me, although I know there's going to be a lot of grief and loss, you know, and as an empath, I have to tell you, I have felt it. I also feel excited for what is to come. So, you know, there's a lot of different expressions, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. So this is a chance, you know, for people's opportunity to do that. And I've actually come up with four S's to help you through and, you know, be able to be in a transformative mode rather than a reactive mode. And the first S is to go, of course, to your spiritual strengths, whatever you do that puts you in touch with spirit. Now, some people have formal practices, whatever that is. They belong to a certain religion or a certain church, or they do a certain, you know, meditation style. You know, other people are into, you know, tarot or some kind of metaphysical or mystical path. Whatever that is, that really should be on the front burner every day as we go through this transition. Make that maybe a little bit bigger priority than normal. And for some people, that can be connecting with nature. So if they can't get outside and move around so readily, you know, look at nature videos. You know, we know from our fabulous technology and science now that the brain doesn't really know the difference between what's real and what we imagine. You can even take yourself, you know, on a guided meditation, which I'll speak about at the end. There is going to be a link to a meditation CD that is free on Spotify to download, to sample at least. Okay, so first step is make your spirituality a priority. There's going to be four S's. The second one is structure. Okay, in order to be able to stay aware of what is happening with your sympathetic and your parasympathetic system and how you might need to adjust, having some structure in your day is going to help you. Even if that just means you do more activity things in the morning and you rest more in the afternoon. But having some kind of structure for these days, because a lot of people, you know, structure their lives around their children's activities, or they were structuring their lives out of coming and going from work. But having some kind of a rhythm to the day is going to help a lot. Then the third S would be self-care. Okay, in the self-care category, you know, that could look so many different ways. That could look like spa treatments. Tippy, you mentioned that you had given yourself a nice bath spa treatment and how renewing that felt for you, because it's not something you normally take the time to do. So,
with,
you know,
salt
all that
from
takes
the Dead Sea. I did it with salt from the Dead Sea, so it was super duper.
Oh, I always wanted to get that salt. That's on my list of things to get, is some of that Dead Sea salt. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Because it has, I think, all the minerals are in that salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And when you do those mineral baths, you know, that helps you too, because the even typical Epsom salt has magnesium in it, okay, which
mm-hmm.
is going to help you calm down. I personally have spent a lot of time in the bathtub during the last 3 or 4 weeks. That's helping me quite a bit. Okay, so self-care could also look like, you know, some self-massage. Like, I borrowed, honestly, my dog's toys recently, because he has one little toy, yeah, that has, like, bumpy edges. And I put that under my neck, and it was great for massaging behind my neck, because I could feel my neck getting tight from being on the computer. So then, and then he had a round ball that I put under my feet and gave myself, you know, like the reflexology massage with the round ball. So you can look around your house, you know, and find things that might support your self-care. Or I was online talking about it on Facebook Live yesterday, and I have like this really cool thing to make giant bubbles. So at some point, probably today, I'm planning to go outside and make some giant bubbles, because that is going to, you know, be a playful, a fun thing for me to do. And maybe some spray painting for me. Like, for me, doing something creative is self-care. So, you know, it depends on the person how that self-care is going to look, but you don't make it hard. You know, just taking even 5 or 10 minutes could shift your consciousness to a higher frequency and get you back toward that center point that we're trying to maintain. And then the last S that I really, really would encourage people to explore more fully would be the S of service. So it doesn't matter what you have to offer, whatever you can give or contribute, you know, to others at this time is going to make a difference for them, of course, but also for you. So my little seva, my little, you know, offering that I've been doing is going live more. And sometimes I'm only spending, you know, 10 minutes on a live, or sometimes I'm spending, you know, 30 or 40 minutes and I'm doing cards. But I'm just trying to show up consistently with something for everyone. And Sharla shared with me the other day that she bought dog food for a homeless person who has a dog. So how sweet is that? You know, so it could be something just like, you know, a couple cans of dog food. It could be, you know, a call or reach out to somebody that, you know, doesn't have a lot of contact with other people, but some kind of service, because that, you know, puts us in touch with our strengths. Maybe you're an artist, you know, maybe you're a photographer, maybe you're a painter, you know, hop online if you can and just give, you know, a 30 minute or 10 minute or 15 minute demonstration or presentation and say, hey, here's some things, you know, do you have some crayons around the house? Whatever it is that you have to offer, you know, by putting that out there, it's going to get you out of yourself for a little while and keep you connected and brighten somebody else's day.
I love that, and I think it's so important, and so many sources are including the last S, the four, being of service, because people don't realize the more you help other people, the more you elevate yourself. It's the most amazing feeling. So I would definitely say try that, but also the other things are important. So I'm going to go through it really quickly. So the first S is spirituality, the second one is structure, the third one is self-care, and the fourth one is service, and that is really powerful way to live through this, what we call caging or staying in one place. Because, you know, Sharla is lucky because she can go outside and take a walk, but in some places of the world, they're actually limited to going 30 feet outside the house. And if they go further than that, they get fined, they get jailed. So if you could self-care in any other way, that's an amazing way to do it. Sharla, do you want to add something to that?
Yes, not that this is surprising, but I have in so many of my notes talking about that creativity expression, like Krishna is saying, you know, we all are really having an opportunity, actually necessity to reinvent ourselves. But when we're talking about the nervous system and all that energy to express in Chinese medicine, we say that repression causes disease to hold in, but to express ourselves. And we have this beautiful opportunity to express and create. And if we can't get outside, I had a couple notes here about I color mandalas and animals, and it helps my left and right brain be occupied. And something I was had written down was, you know, if we can't get outside, we can move. We can put on music and dance. Some people go, I'm not a dancer, I don't want to move. Put on drum music and drum. This is fun for the kids. Also, get some kitchen utensils and drum. This gets out a lot of energy, but it's creative. It's music, right? And we can draw and color and sing. And, you know, it makes us feel good to come up with things about ourselves that we actually really didn't know were inside of us, and that we need that. And I love the four S's, Kristen. I actually took notes.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, good. Yeah, I can't take credit for that. Spirit just sent that straight to me. You know, that just flew right in. And I just want to go a few more comments about going, maybe a few strategies to go a little deeper with the self-reflection and the spirituality or into the intuition. One of the things that I have been doing for decades is to dream journal. And I have different types of dreams. Sometimes my dreams are precognitive, where they are giving me information about the future, which is always nice. Or sometimes they're funny. Like one time I had a car crash and I had to decide where I was going to take my car to get it fixed. And I dreamt about this guy that I had a crush on when I was a little girl who had inherited his dad's auto body shop. Okay, so Spirit gave me a place to take my car where I would at least feel like I could trust the person. So, you know, at this time, because you've got less external distractions, most likely, there's a really good chance that your intuitive and your subconscious are going to be more willing to communicate with you. And so dream journaling is one thing that you can do. Just journaling what you're, you know, what how you're responding emotionally on a day-to-day basis. Or sort of like a captain's log. You know, I have one friend who's a writer, and she posted the other day because she was like not in a good mood. She was like, day whatever. You know, day whatever. You know, but she's quite an excellent writer. And then, you know, what followed was really beautiful and you know, well written. So once again, another form of creative expression. The writing sometimes, you know, when you're writing, things sometimes come through that you don't even know that you're feeling. And I personally like to do that kind of writing or journaling with a pencil, not on the computer. I can do it on the computer, and I'm trying to switch some of it because I have lots of journals everywhere. And another thing that people can do, which I'm hearing a lot of, is people are really tackling the messy areas of their homes. And saying, okay, we're going to get to the closet or we're going to organize whatever. And I think that really does help the energy in your space and give you sort of, you know, anything that's old or you don't use anymore or, you know, being able to get that out of your space is going to help you focus on what you do want to focus on right now and not be distracted by old energies, which is, you know, helping the whole transition to the new, you know, era, you know, kind of show itself.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love that. I've been doing that, and you know, like you said, Kristen, if we clear the clutter, and we're also finding the simplicity again of all the things we thought we needed to have or do, is really shifting. You know, I tell people take 30 minutes and clear your inbox and your email. You know, we all want to do that, but nobody wants. You know, oh, I don't have time to do that. I wanted to share something when you're talking about self-care. Of course, I want to go back to the nervous system and our physical bodies.
One second, Sharla. Before we go into that self-care, I just want to finish up what Kristen said in a really powerful way. She said something really powerful. She said that the more you do that, then Spirit is more willing to communicate with you. And I just wanted to add that what I found is that Spirit is always not only willing to communicate with you, Spirit is always communicating with you. And it's really a matter of you taking the time to listen, taking the time to open yourself to hear what Spirit has to say. Because Spirit is there wanting to be by your side, wanting to help you all the time, every minute of every single day. So I just want to finish it with that because people think, oh, well, I'm not getting any messages from Spirit. Well, then open yourself up and you will.
That's true. And I have a little testament to that. Okay. I had some grumpy moments yesterday, I will confess. and yeah, I had a few grumpy moments. I was getting a little stressed and the most marvelous thing happened. As I stepped out of my car at the grocery store, this little charm appeared from nowhere. I heard this little tinkling sound on the ground. And I'm like, what is that? And I was wearing a charm around my neck, and I thought it might have fallen off, but no, it was not that. I reached down and picked it up, and it was a little sun face. And I can't even remember what the words are on the back, but the sun, you know, in the tarot means everything is okay. Everything's going to work out. Everything is showing up for you. And I really felt like that was a message because, you know, this has been challenging for me. And, you know, as an empath and intuitive, I am certainly not immune, you know, to the worry and fear that is floating around. But I am doing everything I can. I'm pulling out all my tools to navigate it as well as possible. And right there, even when I was being a little resistant, Spirit injected that little sun sign right into my, you know, day. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I definitely can feel the pain. Being an empath, it's everywhere I move and everywhere I look at, even people I don't know. So I definitely can feel that. And I navigate it also because I can't live like this. I can't live with all this pain. So I look for the light in people. And you guys are giving that to me right now, and I really appreciate it. Charlotte, sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
Oh, that's quite all right. This is a beautiful dialogue. I'm just really grateful to be sharing right now, and it's like I'm just having a chat with good friends, and we get to share this beautiful moment with so many people as we're all maneuvering this. And I like that, Kristen. We're clearing out the clutter. We're quieting the static so that we can hear. You know, we have to be sitting quietly to be able to hear those messages from Spirit. That's one of the challenges, is we all move so quickly, we're not resting and quiet to hear it. But what I wanted to say was some practical ideas about the self-care. And when we're regulating the nervous system, our blood sugar, this goes back to the structure and self-care. You know, having breakfast, having meals, making sure to eat, not too much, right? Some people are going to
not too much,
food, right? Yeah, it's all a balance. It's all a balance. But some food tips very quickly for people. We do know that this molecule that's invading the body is a protein molecule covered by a lipid layer, and it's attacking the lungs and the respiratory. So wheat can be very irritating to the respiratory. So if you do have respiratory, asthma, allergies, or even not, watch your wheat intake. We want to keep our immune system strong. We know that vitamin C and zinc and D, everybody is buying all over the country, but we can look at the food. Wheat, again, is irritating to the respiratory. We want to eat things like oranges and grapefruits with that beautiful white pith. It's very high in bioflavonoids and quercetin, which we know now the quercetin is really important for immunity, health, respiratory. So we can go to food as our medicine. So we want to do things like blueberries, red onions, broccoli, sweet potatoes, apples. Those all have high quercetin. And so we can use food right now as medicine as well as nurture. You know, watching the blood sugar regulation, because the cortisol expressed by the fight or flight is really, and our hormones, right? Some of us women, or even men at this point, our hormone regulation is greatly affected, and we're wondering why our moods all over the board, or our menstrual cycles have shifted. And so we can slow down, look at the food, eat the food calmly, watch the wheat, watch the sugar, caffeine, alcohol. Not that we can't do these, but watch the food as part of the influence to the nervous system and using it as our spiritual practice. Food is really my spiritual practice of how I serve myself, and what I choose to serve myself is really, and how I eat. Very calmly and present. is very different.
I cannot believe you said that, because I think this is so powerful, and it happens to be something that I've been practicing for the last 10 days about food intake. And I think it's also important the kind of food you eat. I'm not going to downplay that. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what food you eat, and no matter what food you're going to take into your house, into your body, it's how you eat the food and the intention that you set on the food is so, so powerful on how your body accepts the food. So sitting and 100%. Eating in front of it. Right. So it's been really difficult for me to shut off the TV and the radio and the phone and everything and just sit down and eat, because it's not a practice that I'm used to. But doing that, shutting off everything around you and not even socializing while you eat, not even talking, just focusing on that food healing you, that food actually heals you as you eat it. I love that you brought it up, because isn't it amazing how we have a synchronicity with things that you had no idea I was going through it, and yet you brought it up.
Right. Yeah, and even if you decide to eat something that maybe isn't as healthy, and I tell my husband, if you're going to have ice cream, all I want you to do is bless it, sit there, and enjoy the ice cream. You'll be more satiated when you're present with it, rather than just, you know, shoveling. And beautiful, beautiful that you were drawn to do that, Tippi. This is this is my practice, you know, really teaching people how to eat, not just what to eat exactly.
But do you have guidelines on what people should eat too?
Sharla, the thing that's coming to mind that I want you to share, if you wouldn't mind, is to help people understand about what foods could make them damp if they're already getting congestion, what they need to avoid.
Yes, good. I had a couple of those notes, and some of us, it's not as easy to get to the grocery store as we're limiting our time out, but absolutely. So, again, the wheat. Irritates the lungs. Sugar makes phlegm, makes mucus. As maybe you can hear, I have a little sinus issue with the pollens out here, so I'm really watching what I eat myself. Ginger tea with ginger and cayenne pepper, because that heat opens up. Ginger reduces phlegm. One of my favorite foods these days are radishes, red radish, daikon radish. They're beautiful for the lungs. They also help reduce phlegm. Anybody having cough, even if it's not due to this monster, you know, horseradish, ground horseradish. I just eat it on a carrot, and it bronchodilates. We want to be aware that raw food, believe it or not, remember, the stomach is a cook pot. So if you eat soups and lightly steamed vegetables, that actually produces less phlegm than cold raw foods like salads or fruit. So and if we chew our food, again, we're going back to being present with the food. Chewing the food 50 times, right, is the number. So we want to make the food into liquid. We keep the food in the mouth and chew it well so that it doesn't get into the stomach and produce more phlegm. So those are the things I think about. Dairy obviously produces a lot of mucus and phlegm. We can have coconut creamer for our coffees, or rice creamer, rice milk for if you're having wheat-free cereal. So we want to be aware, again, sugar is a big phlegm producer, and it's very difficult on the immune system. Not that we can't have a little bit, but the more processed food we have right now, the more it lowers our immunity.
Yeah, well, that's a great tip. I love that, because there's a little things that everybody can do. It's not something that takes a lot of time or money. Eat less bread. If you usually eat two slices of bread a day, maybe eat one. That would be helpful. Or any kind of a little thing you can do. I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Sharla. That's great. So
absolutely.
What kind of card would Spirit give us on that one, Kristen?
Okay, let's see. Diet. It says commence. Okay, no, that's fine. It says commence. Do it. Basically, get started.
Right.
Okay. If you have just been sort of eating like, you know, whatever, now is the time to say, okay, I'm going to take one or two or three small changes, like you've been doing mindful eating, Tippi. So congratulations for making
a
practice for the last 10 days. That's wonderful. And yeah,
hard,
this card is a really,
it's
hard. Okay. Yeah. Because you're breaking a habit. So, so once again, this takes us back to reassessing what we're doing in a habitual way and doing something that's going to be healthier and better for us and, you know, for the collective. Anything we do that's better for us is better for everybody else. So this is a fun card. It has a ram, okay, you know, the ram with the big horns, the big horn ram, jumping out of the card, like, do it, go. And it has sort of a shiny, it looks like almost like the Japanese flag in the middle, the bright sun with beams coming out. So when we, a lot of times, you know, starting is a decision. It's just saying, hey, I'm going to shift something. And maybe we're not going to do it like great every time. That's okay. But if we just sort of stay in the intention of it, then we can get, we can build on little steps. So yeah, that's definitely time to start.
Beautiful. So Charlotte gives you an idea and then Spirit tells you, go for it now. Don't waste any more time. I love that.
Right. There was one more little thing I wanted to share that I do personally. I have some respiratory history issues, so I have been taking the quercetin supplement, you know, which is easy to get. It's very available, which is like a natural anti-inflammatory and antihistamine. I don't have the credentials, but I have the body and the experience. I also picked up some valerian, okay, which helps me calm down. There were some days where I was not calming down. I could feel myself revving too much. So I get that in a tincture, very also available in health food stores, et cetera. And then I also have, in the past, I have been someplace where I was having respiratory distress and I could not get to medical, you know, help. And so I found out about another herb called lobelia, which is a vasodilator and works for me in a pinch. And I have thought, wow, you know, that's a big issue with a lot of these people who are not able to access the healthcare system. They're unable to breathe. And this lobelia, man, I tell you, I'll take a little shot of that. It tastes horrible. You know, I put it, you know, a couple droplets of that. And like I said, I'm not a doctor, just sharing what has worked for me personally. As a person that had chronic respiratory issues growing up, it has saved me in a pinch. And while we were talking, I pulled out a card just for the general thing, and we're getting the Sage of Worlds here, which is the Master card. It shows a master male and female person, older, lots of wheels, okay? So this is an opportunity for self-mastery, for the collective going up to the next level. So it's our job as individuals to do what we can to be part of the positive element of this turn of the wheel.
I love that opportunity for self-mastery. That's exactly the message I'm getting over and over and over again. Every time I look for what's the opportunities here, what's the opportunities, and it's always opportunity for self-mastery, for awakening, for going into places that we've never gone before. That's beautiful, Kirsten. Thank you so much. So, yes, Charlotte. So we have very little time left. We have 90 seconds. And what I wanted to ask you guys is, if you can be talking to Corona, what would you tell him, her, it, or whatever? What would you say? It's kind of like out of nowhere, but I wanted it to come spontaneously without thinking.
Well, my thought initially was, thank you for coming to make us reset, rethink, slow down, reinvent. We've learned all we needed to from you. You may now leave.
Beautiful. And Kirsten?
I feel like the same thing. I don't really have anything per se to add to that. But the first thing I had too was a receiving, coming from a place of receiving, of appreciation, you know, rather than rejection. Because when we let it come in, that's going to move it through quicker than when we resist.
Beautiful. Right. That's true. Exactly. And I want to add to that, to everybody that is thinking and worried and concerned about it, let me assure you, and Charlotte already did, everything is okay. Everything will be okay. The sun will still shine tomorrow morning. This is not going to last forever. It's going to be over soon, and we need to focus on who do we want to be when we emerge on the other side of this.
We're in a cocoon, and we're turning into butterflies.
Yeah, butterflies, here we come.
Okay,
right.
I pulled one last card, and we got the fortune card, which
go
is a beautiful card with the Black Madonna in the middle of it. It's sparkly and beautiful. So, you know, we're now creating the world's new fortune.
Woo.
It's time to start the new fortune for the world.
That's beautiful.
Yay.
And that's exactly what we needed to hear right now. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your input. This has been enlightening and beautiful, and I feel a lot lighter now than I did when we started, which is a very good sign. But we ran out of time, and we can probably go on for 3, 4, or 5 hours with this. And perhaps maybe we should continue this in the future. Let's discuss that and see if we can have you back. But
yes,
now we've come to the end.
Thank you, Tippy.
Thank you so
much. Yes, this was great. Thanks, Tippy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippitoe. I want to thank both Charlotte and Kristen for joining me. It's been an honor. And you not only enlightened us in different ways and different perspective, but it's also something to do. You actually have practical things that you can do right now in all kinds of ways. There is a link in the description below to the meditation that Kristen was telling you about. And if you want to check it out, all you have to do is go to the bottom where the description is, and then click on that link, and it will take you right into Spotify, where you can listen to that meditation for free. I think that's beautiful. And also, Sharla, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, there is a link also to your website over here. Is there anywhere else that anyone can get a hold of you guys if they want to get in touch with you?
Well, my website and link is the best way.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And,
yeah, and
Kristen?
Did you have the Facebook link up there too, Tippy, in my little
file? Don't, but I will add it. I tried to add it and it was giving me a hard time. So I will add that. Send me the link by itself and I'll add it at the bottom too. So that if somebody wants to get a hold of you, they can go onto your Facebook, request a friend, and connect that way. That sounds good.
Yes, and I'm giving a little gift to anyone who hears on the show if they'd like to take my 6-week course that's, you know, kind of up your mindfulness mojo and stay grounded at the same time course. I'm giving a gift. So just put in Tippy if you communicate with me, and I'm going to give you a 50% off with another purchase.
Well, that's TIPPY, everybody. And don't forget to put it in. Once again, thank you so much, and be blessed and stay safe.
Love and light.
Peace and happy.
Thank you. Thank you.